Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Achieving Certification as a Clinical Laboratory Scientist at the Age of 16, One Gen Z's Journey, along with insights on educating Zoomers about careers in laboratory medicine. The presenter is Isaac Schmidley, Clinical Laboratory Scientist, Christus Health, Coushatta, Louisiana.
Well, good morning, everyone. Sorry for a bit of technical difficulties, so a bit delayed, but I think we've got everything working right now. Thank you for attending my presentation. I'm really glad that you guys are able to make it here. I'll start off. My name is Isaac Schmidley, and in my presentation, I'll be discussing my journey through the clinical lab program and graduating at 16. And also be discussing some ways in which to really help sort of recruit and engage the younger audience into this field and into this career. So before I really get into things, I'd like to talk a little bit about my life first. These are some of the biggest influences that have really shaped my life. I grew up with eight siblings, and five of whom are adopted through the Louisiana foster care system, and two of them have some really profound mental and physical disabilities, and they're non-ambulatory. And so seeing that and growing up in that environment, it I think that played a key role in my desire to help people like them overcome to help face those challenges and those disabilities. So I really wanted to do something in the healthcare field from an early age. My parents were also a really major influence in my life. They're just watching them, engage and with the community. It gave me the desire and the passion to serve those around me as well. And I would say, my final really, really major influence is probably the education system that I grew up in. It was focused more on grading focused less on grading and more on learning and really expanding my horizons in the way that I see that I think, would be interesting to me. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later on, but these three, the main influences in my life that really played a key role in leading me down this path. So I'd like to talk a little bit about my story. I had some early struggles in school. So fun fact, I was born in China, and my parents moved there, and they had both me and my younger brother there. And I lived in China until I was about four, almost 5 years old. And then my family, we moved back to the United States. And, my first language was actually the Chinese Mandarin language. And so English was only my second language. And so for the throughout my experience at the American, public high school system, I really struggled trying to grasp and understand concepts because I wasn't very familiar, especially with the grammatical structure of how the English language works, and so that really impeded my ability to learn in all the subject areas really, and it was so much so to the extent that I really felt like I was dumb or that I wasn't understanding and. That really, really negatively impacted my ability to learn. And so, my mother decided to pull, myself as well as my siblings out of the public school system and decided to homeschool us instead. And, so eventually there was, other people in the community, they wanted their children to be homeschooled as well. And so she eventually grew the, little homeschool to, a micro school, which has about 60 students now. And in this school, I really noticed several really significant positive changes in me. I really grew a love for learning, and I think the reason why I was able to do that and be so passionate about learning was because that instead of trying to focus on, you know, meeting the marks and trying to get straight A's or, you know, whatever else have you, I was focused on just trying to learn the things that I really enjoy. And by doing that, I grew that love for, you know, learning other things in school and even the things that I really didn't think that I would like to learn. And so eventually, you know, I think this really rolled over, and throughout my years in school, I was able to advance through several of the curriculums really quickly. And at the age of 12, I completed my entire high school math curriculum. And so my mom was looking for you know, other colleges, like local community colleges, for me to take some upper level math classes at. And we reached out to one. It was the Bossier Parish Community College, a little local community college in that area. And I started out the first semester with one upper level algebra class. And I really enjoyed that class. So the next semester I took some more classes, and one thing leads to another. At the age of 14, I graduated from BPSI with my associates in natural science. And, you know, throughout my experience at BPSI, I really enjoyed especially the microbiology and the chemistry lab. And so I was really wanting to find a career that would suit me and that would allow me to, you know, continue and really explore my interest and really enjoy doing that lab work. You know, I remember one day in my chemistry lab, I stumbled across a little flyer for an advertisement for a local MLS program, and I thought that was really interesting. So I looked into it some more, and I decided to apply when I was 14. I'll continue on the next slide. So I reached out to the director of the program, and I said that I was a little bit younger than, you know, the average student. And when we met together, she said that she was very surprised to find out just how young I was. But she also said there was no age requirement on that program, and so that she was, you know, she talked to some of her other faculty about it, and they said that they'd be willing to accept me. And so I started at 14, and you know, I was going through the program. It was significantly different than my experience at the 2-year community college. It was much more difficult, much more rigorous study. However, I think, you know, my early education and that desire to really learn and to not get overwhelmed and frustrated about poor grading and poor grades, I think that really played a key role in that in enabling my perseverance to continue throughout this program and to not quit. And eventually, as I was done with the you know, general sessions and studying, I moved on in my last semester to the clinical rotations. And at first, it was a bit of a struggle trying to find some hospitals that would be willing to accept you know, someone so young. But you know, my faculty, they were able to work it out with the Ochsner hospital system that was affiliated with the school, and so they were able to let me join them, and that's where I did my clinical rotations. And after I was done taking all my classes, I passed the boards, and I thought everything was gonna go well, and I was gonna get a job. I'd received several verbal job offers from some of the managers at Ochsner, so I was really excited to begin and really get started on my career. But there were some initial challenges with trying to get a job. Even though many managers at Ochsner had given me their verbal job offers, when it came down to things, they were they had some struggles trying to work with HR to get me employed because I was still under 18. They could allow me for clinicals, but they couldn't quite hire me, it seemed like. And so I was waiting to hear back from them, and I was getting a little disappointed that things might not really work out well there. And so I decided to look into other hospitals to see if any of them would be willing to accept me and let me start there as a MLS professional. And, you know, there was some, I remember seeing some of the job applications for the other hospitals. They asked if, you know, I was 18, and of course I said no. And I got, you know, immediately rejected because they couldn't hire anyone under 18. But I did make, you know, all the way to the, like, in-person interviews a couple of times. And I remember one specifically. I went into the manager's lab, and then he came in, and he said, "Are you the person who's under 18? And I said, "Well, yes, sir, I am." He said, "Sorry, we can't hire you." And I was really disappointed when I heard that, you know, in person. And I thought that I'd really have to delay my career until I turned 18 and I was able to legally work at a hospital. But I saw one more job opening at local hospital in my hometown. And so I thought that would be, you know, really great commute, and I could get there, and that would be, you know, great starting job. So I did the interview. They said that they would be willing to accept me, and they gave me a job offer. Things were going well, and I started my onboarding process. But when I went to get my drug screen, they said that they couldn't do that because I was under 18. And so that got kicked back to the HR, and then they had to resend my job offer. And then it was just a roller coaster of emotions. And, you know, I wasn't going to just let that opportunity get past me. So I looked into the local, state, federal laws to see if there was any type of legal challenges in their way. And there weren't. So I sent them, you know, the laws for hiring minors. And they were able to get a position ready. I think I had some really just amazing people that were working, you know, with me to allow that to happen. And so I'm really grateful for them, but I was able to get a part-time position at the Christus Hospital that I'm working in now. My favorite part of the lab is hematology. I think I really enjoy just, you know, looking at the cells and identifying cell structures and being able to find things that I know, you know, very few other people are qualified to find and know how to look for, and then being able to give that really important information to physicians to allow them to treat their patients accordingly. After I graduated from my MLS degree, I started working on my master's in public health at that same university. I don't think I mentioned the name of it. It was the LSU Health Science Center in Shreveport. The LSU, and then they had their own special names and stuff. So that was the university, and I went back to get my master's in public health. I just got done with my second semester, and I attend there for night classes 3 nights a week. And I think I'm considering, you know, one day pursuing a PhD or maybe MD in the future, but I'm really not sure yet, and so I think time will tell. And so now with my, you know, giving you some idea of my story, and now that I've shared that with you, I'd like to talk about really what I've noticed to be three really changes in perspective among the younger generations in Gen Z. You know, in some ways, I'm sort of a teenager living in an adult's world in terms of my, you know, working as an MLS. And so I'm able to experience the career and talk to people who are very, very knowledgeable and very competent in their fields. But I also have many friends who are still in high school and still trying to figure out, you know, what they want to do with their lives. And so I've noticed some changes in the patterns of thinking of the Gen Z, even compared to just one generation over, you know, the millennials. There's significant changes. And I'd like to share these three with you, starting with the first one. So the first one, changing sentiments about college. So many younger generations are beginning to think that, you know, perhaps college isn't a great option. They think that, you know, I'm just gonna go and spend years of my life to get a degree that really might not be helpful. They think that colleges might be a scam or a sham, or just trying to take money out of their pockets without really giving them anything very valuable in return. And it also contributes to their line of thinking that many large companies have discontinued their requirements for a degree, and they've started moving on to micro credits and qualifications to allow people to get, you know, those job positions. And so I think all of these factors combined really contribute to a growing sentiment, changing sentiment about the necessity for college. And I wanted to share with you this video. I couldn't get the audio to work, but this was in many ways a sort of an outrageous video. It was very criticizing of college in ways that, you know, I don't think were very appropriate or well thought out. But it does have, as you can see, 20 million views. So many people saw this video and they thought, yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, I think that's a fair point that you're making. And so I think this, you know, that videos like this are all across the internet saying, you know, how bad and how useless college degrees are. And so this is what the Gen Z are consuming, and this is really what they're thinking about. And so using that information and keeping that in mind, I think it's important that we understand that to be able to adapt and really find ways to either work around that or use that to our advantage, as I'll show you in the next slide. So I think that the three ways to really adapt to this thought and this idea, you know, I think a great way is to really emphasize the career certification. It's not really just a degree, but you also have a professional certification, and in many ways you have really a job that you can have for the rest of your life if you complete this program and go down this career path. You can also really, I think a great way is to work with high schools and to provide paths immediately after completing high school to get started on the MLS program. I know there's growing opportunity for dual enrollment credits, so many students could get some of those credits while they're still in high school and maybe even have enough to jump right into go into the MLS career and get started on that program. But there are still some people who, you know, may not be able to complete and do it that route. So, another way is to really provide, to work with for the four-year universities to collaborate with community colleges and provide that route from high school to community college to four-year university, similar to the route that I took upon completing this degree. And so with that in mind, I'd like to move on to the second shift, which is transparency regarding finances. So I think, many Gen Zs, many Zoomers are very comfortable with and very open with sharing their finances in ways that I've honestly never seen before. I remember one time one of my friends, you know, someone my age in high school, they were asking me how much money I made, you know, working as an MLS, and I was just very open. I said, you know, I make $26 an hour, and my parents were there, and they heard it, and they were like, wait a minute, you can't say that. That's like, it's private information. I was like, well, why? What's the problem with sharing that? And so I think there's this really changing sentiment. People are very, they're now open about talking about those types of things. I think one of the main thoughts, main reasons behind it is a sense of equity and to really allow people to sort of share their financial information so that you know, companies can't pay someone less and someone more. And I think just sharing that information can help people, you know, barter for better wages. And that's sort of the thought behind, you know, why people are having, why this is really changing in that way. There are also, you know, financial breakdowns in terms of the, like showing how much money you spend and how much money you make and how, you know, like very personal information and sharing that online. And this was what the video was about. But again, the sound wasn't working for it. But in this video, this person was going to share a chart of the different monthly expenses that someone may incur and, you know, how much money they're making and comparing that. And so this is another, you know, very viral video and something that many people in my generation are consuming. And there's also many Zoomers are believe that middle class is now making more than $100,000 a year. And so they want to see a career that can, if not, you know, not starting with that kind of figure, but that could lead to that kind of figure as they progress and throughout their career. And so I'll that leads right into, you know, the possible opportunities with this shift in mind. So to establish a clear path to $200,000, you know, as you progress and throughout the career down the line, I know, you know, many of the people that I've talked to, they want to, after they graduate high school, they want to become a PA or they want to be become a nurse practitioner. They don't say they want to become a nurse. They automatically begin with the end in mind. They see what they want to become eventually, and seeing the steps it takes to get there. Even if they don't, you know, make it all the way there, even if they, you know, just go through, get their RN or BSN, they still have that thought and having that position that makes $100,000 a year. And I don't really see the same type of position like that in the medical lab science field. Yeah, I know there are some, I know there's a master's degree and a doctorate degree in clinical lab science, but I don't see a clear path to $100,000 directly. And I think so marketing that, you know, trying to marketing a position to that makes that amount can really help encourage and inspire young people to try to reach that and go for this career. And I think also, you know, speaking of marketing, I think it's very important to talk financial details directly in the marketing. And I think a great, you know, sort of if you're doing an ad or a campaign is to say, you know, if you start and do this career, you're going to be making this much money an hour or from within this range of money an hour. And I think that, you know, to many other generations, that would be very, very, very scary, very, very taboo to mention something like that. But for, I think Gen Z would be very, they would appreciate that honesty and that transparency. And finally, for, you know, students who are concerned about, you know, taking on student loans and getting in debt, I think job contracts and loan repayment programs can be a great way you know, to help ease that burden. And again, the transparency of saying, okay, if you do this, if you work here for 5 years, then we can help pay off a significant, you know, portion of your debt. And I think, you know, having that opportunity can also really help the Gen Z. And one last point that I wanted to talk about was the increasing value of mental health among the younger generations. So many people are, you know, concerned about the work-life balance and being able to have good mental health outcomes. They might be able to, you know, they might be able to make a lot of money, but if they, they're having to stress and worry about, you know, their job and stuff all the time, then they might not be willing to take on that sort of job. And, you know, now sharing videos and sharing posts about mental health problems is not really shameful. It's actually almost encouraged to you know, share your thoughts and your ideas and your problems. I think, you know, some of the younger generations are more empathetic to people with some of those challenges than I think some previous generations. So I wanted to share with you this video. This is a medical resident, and she was she filmed a panic attack that she had while in her vehicle after seeing some of her you know, teachers that weren't very kind to her. And so I think a video like this would have been really like laughed at and mocked, you know, just 5-10 years ago. But now it's, you know, it's another mega viral video, and people are very interested in watching this and can relate to someone's mental health problems and their struggles. And so I think with this in mind, I believe, and I'll get into this more on the next slide, this is probably the area where the medical lab science field really has a great advantage over, you know, many other fields, because there's really little face-to-face interactions with patients. And so, you know, that could be a core piece of the advertisement of this field. There is some chaos in the lab, as I'm sure many of you are aware, and it can be chaotic at times, but in many ways it's controlled chaos, and you don't have patients just rushing in all the time. And, you know, being able to sit down and deal with that and really do your job instead of having to deal with many families who are or hurt or grieving, and, you know, that can really take a toll on the body. And so not having to work with that can be really helpful for the mental health. And also not having to make critical decisions for the patient. You know, you have to do your job and make sure the tests are right, but really that's up to the clinicians to make sure that they make the right decisions for the patient based off of the information that you provide. And so I think, you know, all of that is really great for mental health, and promoting that especially can be very great for trying to recruit you know, younger people into this lab field. And I think also to promote you know, sort of marketing, like the people actually working in the lab and showing just how not calm or easy, but certainly just how, just that you're doing your job and you're just doing the lab work that you have in front of you, and just being able to show that work can, I think, really encourage people to try to pursue this career. And I want to conclude with just some of the reasons that I chose the lab science personally. So I knew that, you know, I wanted to earn a bachelor's degree at first, and I thought I was going to just try to go straight on into, you know, maybe med school or a PhD program. But I thought, you know, if I, you know, get done with the bachelor's degree, I still have to, you know, maybe do master's, maybe I could, you know, try to take the MCAT, but if that doesn't work out, and if medical school or a PhD program, if that doesn't pan out for me, then I'm kind of stuck with, you know, a degree that that might not be very useful. And so I thought I would, you know, wanted to get something I could fall back on, a degree that would give that certification and that guaranteed job. And also, you know, throughout the course of my education, I was able to get the Louisiana, the TOPS scholarship to pay for a lot of it, as well as Pell Grants. And they were enough to not only pay for the tuition at the school, but also they were able to reimburse the excess and hand that to me. So I was really making money throughout my time, you know, studying at the community college and at the medical lab science school. And I think also the program duration was really critical for me as well, because my program, it only lasted 15 months. And I, you know, I worked through, studied through two summers. And so being able to just really quickly complete that program, it allowed me to really sort of go on with my life and start my career early. And so that also played a critical role in my choosing this career. And then, of course, the work environment, not having to stress so much about interacting with patients and, you know, not having to deal with very sick people and very injured people and their families. I think that was really, you know, I'm empathetic to people with those struggles, but it can really be a burden on your body and your mind. And so not having to worry about that end of healthcare so much, I think that was that also played a critical role in my choosing of the medical lab science career. And so that's all I have. I'm open for questions, and thank you so much for coming. So does anyone have any questions or about anything? Okay. So they asked me to repeat the questions to the audience. So basically, the question was about, you know, many of my high school friends, how many of them would want to complete this program and go on a similar route that I did. I think very few at first when I first started engaging and interacting with my students. And as I went through the program, I told them about, you know, how this could actually be a really good opportunity for people who wanted to join and sign up. And I do have a couple of friends that I know of who are, some of them are still in high school, some of them are working on their associate degrees, who are interested and want to pursue that career and go to that, even the very same school and do that same program that I did. And so, yeah, it's very few at first, but then when I talked to people, I think more became interested. And of course, it's not for everyone. If, you know, I know some people might really enjoy interacting with patients. So, you know, it's not a career for everyone, but it is a great viable career for people who want that stability and that the great benefits that come along with it.
Isaac, I'm curious, first, what discipline are you working in currently? And two, is Christus using you to do high school outreach? Have they sent you out to do any of the speaking in high school?
No, they haven't sent me for any of that position. Well, they have, you know, I'm currently working as just a journalist, sort of rotating between the different departments. But no, they haven't used me for any outreach yet. After I graduated, though, I had a couple of articles that the Ochsner LSUS system wrote about me and one little interview. But other than that, you know, I haven't really had the... I haven't really been asked to speak and you know,
go
engage in that way. Okay, all right.
And tell them that you would be happy to go do some high school outreach.
Okay, well, thank you for the advice.
Right? I would take you. Yeah. Like, I might have to just bring you out to Salt Lake City and do some of that for us.
Okay. Do you have a question? Yeah.
Do you have any ideas or any evidence you suggest about how to get the word out at your age and people in the lab?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, really probably the best channel to use, you know, for distribution of knowledge is probably the social media, you know, through the different, I know there's Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all those sort of channels. So I think if, you know, to have like professional, you know, even ASCP or different organizations to have their own channels and share those videos, share videos about the lab and promote the lab. I think that would be very helpful, because many younger generations are not super focused on TV or radio. They're more focused on social media, and so using those distribution channels, I think, can be a really great way to spread the word for people who, you know, haven't even heard of this profession and this career. I didn't even hear of it until I was about ready to decide to apply and get my degree in biology or chemistry at some other 4-year university. So yeah, I think spreading the word in that way can be really helpful. Okay, well, yeah, it's good to hear. Any other questions? All right, then. Well, thank you so much for coming. I hope you enjoyed my presentation.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.